Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to church. Good to see you. Welcome all of those at Church Online. It's awesome to see you as well. I'm excited to be able to have all of us together, whether it's in person or through technology. It's such an honor and a blessing to be able to host you today. Welcome to church. You are our family. It's really, really good to see you. If you're a first-time guest with us, I just want to say welcome. I want you to feel very, very welcome. And then I also want you to never feel like a guest again. Just consider yourself a part of this family. You are now home, right, everybody? Welcome home. We love you. Yeah. And that's true online as well. It's awesome to be able to host you. We're in a series right now that we're calling Fully Devoted. I've really been excited about this, and we're going to go into part number 3 of this series today, and I'm excited to get into it a little more and to be able to go a little bit deeper. If you've missed any of the installments, do know that they're available on our website. You could go back and watch those or listen to those as a podcast. We have a YouTube channel. All the content's available on those platforms, but today, I want to get into the subject, our third installment today of this series. And we've been really, the premise, the idea of this series, we've been trying to answer a question. And the question that we're trying to answer is this: what does fully devoted look like? What does it look like? So as a church, we have a purpose statement. And here's what we say: that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. And what happened was, we just started asking a question. And the question was, what does fully devoted look like? How do you know? So if we can't define it as a church, as the leaders of the church, how could anybody else define it? So if we're hoping and believing that we're called by God to help people become fully devoted, then let's define that. What does it look like? How do people know if they're hitting the target? How do they know what target even to aim at? And that's been the premise and the concept of this series, Fully Devoted. And so what we did is, rather than come up with our own thoughts and ideas, we talked about it, we kicked ideas around, well, what do you think it is, what do you think it is? But rather than just come up with some of our own thoughts, we just said, God, we need you to show us. And we found in his word what fully devoted is and exactly what it looks like. So I want to get started there. You guys ready to get started? If you're ready, say ready. If you're online, type ready in the chat. I want to take you to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This is the context. This is our foundation scripture for this series. And the Bible says this, that they devoted themselves. Now they, by the way, is Christ followers. These are Christian people. And so what happens is that they show this life of devotion. And we just love the fact that the Bible just called it what it is. Fully devoted looks like this. So what did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I just want you to kind of notice that the breaking of bread is mentioned here. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I love this heart of unity, and you see that just packed into this text. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And watch this. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. So it's the second time we've seen bread being broken, fellowship, like communion together relationally. There is a difference in both of these contexts. So we're going to, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about those differences. So this week, we're going to talk right here about this one, that they broke bread in their homes and they ate together. Next week, we're going to talk about the other time that breaking bread is mentioned. What does that look like? So they devoted themselves to breaking bread and to prayer. So the Bible says that they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And here's the big idea. This is what it's all about. I want you to notice the last sentence in our verses. The Bible says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So in other words, like, this is what it's about. So we see this really amazing sort of cycle, if you will, start to take place, that people encounter the life-changing power of Jesus. So something happens in them that transforms them on the inside. The result of encountering the grace and the love and the mercy and the hope and all other positive adjectives that come to the association of Christ Jesus creates in these people this like devoted mindset that I am going to continue to give myself to the things that brings me near God's heart. And it was described here. And then what we see is that because of their devotion, more people are intrigued about this life-changing person, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, they encounter that same life-changing hope, And then in turn, they become fully devoted. And the Bible says that this cycle was just every single day, more and more people were coming to know Christ Jesus as their Savior. It's a beautiful picture. And so for a church family like ours, like our heart is exactly this, that we want to be these people. We want to be the kinds of people that are so emphatically in love with Jesus that we commit ourselves to doing the things that cultivate that closeness. And when we cultivate that closeness with the heart of God, that it just begins to permeate the goodness of God out of us. So what we're not trying to do is have religion, because religion doesn't work, everybody. We don't need a bunch of things to check off a list that we've done and now God's happy with us. No, God is happy with you, period. He loves you. That's why Jesus died for you. What this is about cultivating closeness and relationship. And so we have a working definition for our series, and it's this. The word devoted literally means to continually give oneself. So I'm going to continue to do these things, give myself to these things, because it's going to cultivate that closeness that we all need and desire with our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. So today's focus, all right, let's just get right to it. Today's focus is this, found in verse 46. The Bible says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's a picture of community. They're spending time with one another. So last Sunday, we talked about how they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So in other words, like, church matters, the Bible matters. We continually give ourselves to these things because it cultivates that closeness with God. Well, then today we see that they go a step further. They're not just gathering together like in a place to worship as a large group. They're actually gathering together to connect with each other on a very relational, very personal way. So as I begin to prepare for part three this week, and I begin to pray and say, okay, God, what would you have me say? I begin to think about it, because here's what I want to communicate, all right? Here's what I want to say. Let me digress one step, and then I'll take us forward. That in our church, we are very intentional. We do our best to do less things well. So we're not trying to just do a bunch of stuff. We're trying to do some very effective stuff, okay? So in our church, four things that we want for every single person, a part of Church on the Rock. We believe this is what God wants for all of mankind: to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. I think this is what God wants for you and me. And so we do that through weekend services, life groups, something we call All Access, and then our teams that serve people, Dream Team. And so for me, as I see this, that they're breaking bread and they're eating together in their homes and they're enjoying each other's company and fellowship, I immediately start thinking about life groups. And then I start thinking to myself, how am I going to preach another sermon about life groups again? Because I've already done it multiple times this year. I've done it multiple times over the years. In fact, I intentionally do it multiple times over and over and over, because I want people to recognize their deep need to be directly connected relationally to God's people. Say amen if you believe that. But I had a little bit of a tension this week, honestly. And so as I began to prepare, like, my normal message prep day wasn't on its normal day. My schedule had to rearrange a little bit. And so honestly, the most relieving part of my week, I'll just like let you behind the curtain a little bit. The most relieving part of my week is when I hit send on my notes to our production team. Like, when that happens, the most important part of my week is done. And that makes me feel really, really good. And so this week, because everything had to rearrange, I sort of carried a little bit of a pressure throughout the week, trying to get this sort of message ready. And I'm asking myself, like, how am I supposed to do this? God, I need you to be helpful here. Can you be creative with me? And so here's what I'm going to say. I am actually not going to preach today about life groups and the value of life in community. Here's what I am going to say, that if you want to get a message, an actual sermon about, like, what the Bible says about this, why it's good for us, I preached a message about 3 months ago in a series that we called At the Table. Some of you remember we had a table on the platform, and the title of my message was Deep Friendship. You can find that on our YouTube channel in the archives. You can just go back there and find it. And I talk very candidly about what the Bible says about the kinds of friends that we should have, because the Bible's very clear. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. It says that bad company corrupts good character. It has a lot to say about the kinds of people that we associate with. What happened, though, was that God showed me something different. We're going to do something different today. So I'm in a life group on Monday nights with a bunch of men, and I love my group. I really do. Some of you are in the room here. I'm looking at some of the faces of the guys that sit in a circle with me. And what I did when I got into the circles, I said, guys, if it's okay with you, throughout this entire semester, I do not want you to see me as Pastor Josh. If it's all right with you, I just would like to be Josh, because I'm awfully real. I live in a real world. I have real issues. If it's cool with you, I just want to be able to be real here. And they have graciously allowed me to just be myself there and really talk about some of the issues that do, in fact, go on in my life. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. Amen. And so in Monday night's life group, we were sitting there, and one of my friends began to share, and he began to talk about how God has transformed his life because of relationships with God's people. And as soon as he started talking, I knew right there, I was like, okay, God, I got it. I know exactly what you want me to do. And so I asked my friend Austin, I said, would you be willing to meet me? I want you to have a meal with me, and I want lights on and cameras on, and I just want to have a conversation. Would you indulge me by having a conversation? I want you to share your story. And he said, yes. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm about to kick it to a video. My friend Austin Wagner is going to give you the meat of today. Come on. He has fans. He's going to give you the meat of today's message, because the Bible says this. The Bible says there's overcoming power in testimony. And so what's going to happen today is you're going to get to hear a testimony of what life in godly relationships has done in one person's life. And I hope that it encourages you. Check this out. All right, so I'm here with my friend Austin. Austin, first of all, thanks for taking the time to have a meal with me and this conversation. I figured a couple of guys, what's better than steak and a potato? Just thanks for sitting with me, taking the time. You and I have become friends over, what's it, 9, 10 months?
Yeah, or coming up on, 10, 11 months.
Something like that. And so we've become friends, and then I think we've become like deep friends pretty fast. Like, we've gotten to know each other really, really well. There are some things, though, I don't know about you, and so I'm gonna ask you some questions today. All right.
All right.
Two words or less. Two words or less. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Yeah, I knew that. I actually knew that one. All right. Digital or paper Bible? I think I know. Yeah. Okay.
Paper,
all right.
Paper.
I thought that. I was pretty sure. I was gonna ask it anyway. Okay. Mountains or beach?
Ooh, mountains.
Okay. All right. Phone call or text?
Phone call.
Phone call.
All day long.
Okay, that's good for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. And then last one, pecan or pecan?
Mm. Pecan?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, pecan. I'm from the South, so yeah, it's pecan pie.
Hey, it's pecan pie.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay, in one paragraph, how'd you hear about Church on the Rock? What made you stay?
So I heard about Church on the Rock through my father, actually. He had, at his wedding, the man who did his ceremony knew of Church on the Rock, recommended it. So when I got out here to Florida, he said, hey, let's go check this church out. So I came in and I checked this church out. And I stayed because of the people. And I stayed because I recognized the Spirit of God moving inside this house.
That's awesome.
Without a doubt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I love it. I love it. All right. I know your story. A lot of the people in the church probably don't know your story. And so in 5-ish minutes, give us the Austin Wagner testimony story.
Okay. Well, I'm from Arizona, and I grew up in a divorced household. They divorced when I was about 5. Both loving parents, love my father, love my mother.
Yeah.
I got a taste of death kind of early on in my life when I was 15. My cousin died, and then I buried my best friend like a month and a half after that. And so there was some turmoil early, you know. And I started going down the wrong path, you know, that eventually led to incarcerations. I spent 6 years in the Arizona State Penitentiary. Went twice, first time for 2.5 years, second time for 3.5 years. And You know, looking back now, I realize that God was with me through all of it, even though I didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
But the first time I went to prison, I was lost. I was very lost. I was angry. I was unsure of myself, completely consumed by fear. And it led me to do some things that I really didn't want to do inside there. And eventually it came to a point where I was out of options in prison. And I was getting to the point where I was out of options coming out of prison. My family had finally kind of thrown in the towel and said, look, dude, we're done with your lies. We're done with your deceit and everything that goes with it. And so I found myself like really at this defining moment of my life where I had no one and nothing. Yeah. I mean, I was out of answers. I had none. So I hit my knees and I just said a prayer. I just said, hey, God, if you're real, show me something. And boy, did he. He showed me something. And that was my moment of salvation. Now, this was about 3 weeks prior to me getting out the first time.
So you're in prison at the moment of your salvation.
I am. Okay. As a matter of fact, so I found Jesus in a prison cell. As a matter of fact, he climbed right on into that cell and made himself at home with me. I often tell people I met SWAT team Jesus because I'm telling you what.
I haven't heard that one yet. Okay.
Yeah, like he kicked down my door and made himself known. And it was incredible and it was powerful. It was transforming. I knew something radical had happened. And this was about, again, like 3 weeks from me getting out of the penitentiary. So I called my family. I said, hey, this and this has happened. They're like, they could tell it was real, it was authentic. They're like, cool, cool, cool. So I was going to get out and go live with my uncle, who's a godly man. He's the one who always was leading me to Christ. And I got out and things were okay for a while until they weren't. Until, again, I ran out of answers. And so I found myself in prison again. And this time I was facing, well, possibly 20 years. I ended up getting 3.5 years.
Awesome.
You know, I battled drugs and alcohol my entire life, and that's kind of like my go-to. So as a young Christian, I didn't necessarily run to the Father, right? I didn't really know my worth or how he sees me. I just knew a radical shift had happened, you know? And so I continued back into my comfort zone, and I fell back into sin and landed back in prison. But when I hit prison the second time for the 3.5 years, I was just at peace. I was at peace. I knew that the work was about to start.
Yeah.
I just did. I knew it. And so then for 3 years, I walked with the Lord and I saturated myself with his word. I finally understood how he sees me, you know, as a child, and that he loves me and that all this other stuff is irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't about what I did or what I was doing, but about what Jesus did for me, and that he chose me at my absolute worst.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He deemed me worthy. So then I got out of prison and made a decision to follow what God was telling me to do. And so I came out here to Florida and met y'all. And
that's awesome.
Kind of where we're at now.
So we have the privilege to be in a life group together, which I love. Mm-hmm. And we get it's a place where our friendship has deepened even more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this week our verse, Acts 2:46, where they broke bread in their homes and they ate together. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here. We're going to eat together tonight. But you said something Monday night in life group that triggered like this right here. And what happened is you started talking about how community, like life with God's people, how that was a game changer from the first time you left prison to the second time, the difference. Talk to us, if you would, like tell me how life in community with God's people has changed your life.
He's radically changing my life through community, through the men and women that I have found in this house that I get to share my life with. You know, when I first showed up here, I think I gave everybody in this church a reason to push me away. I was very brash about it. Looking back at it now, I realized I was kind of just looking for somebody to say, oh no, you're not welcome here. Hmm. You know, your past disqualifies you, you know what I mean? Or you can get to here, but only here.
Gotcha.
You know, all these things. And so I think that that is, I was looking for excuses, but I never got any pushback. Like I got grace and I got love and started developing some real friendships and some real relationships with some people.
Yeah.
And started just taking steps of faith. And I mean, I can't even begin to explain with words what it continually does for me. These people know me.
Yeah.
And they know my past.
Yeah.
And they invite me over to their homes and I eat with their kids and their wives, you know. You know, I'm going to be in a wedding on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in a wedding on Saturday. You know,
which was yesterday at the time people see this.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sorry. So yesterday I'm going to be at a wedding.
At a wedding yesterday.
Yes. It's going to be
awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I got another one in March.
That's cool.
Do you know about that?
I know about that one.
I figured
you did.
I'm
pretty familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it has dramatically changed almost everything in my life.
Yeah.
It really, really, really has.
Is it, so for you, like obviously when you get in those friends, and I'm talking godly friendships,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, I mean, it's okay to have friends that are not Christians, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know that. I mean, the Bible says be in the world, just not of the world. Mm-hmm. And so in these relationships, these friendships, you know, that you're talking about, what's the most beneficial thing to you? Is it the grace? Is it when, people check in on you? Is it the honesty, maybe, like, hey bro, you might have a blind spot?
Mm-hmm.
Is it all of that? Like what do you find, I don't know, like what do you find the best benefit from?
Well, you hit all of it, right?
Okay.
All in once. But you know what really makes a difference to me is my whole life I've kind of been this person who you know, in order to measure my success, it's like through accomplishments and through doing, you know, doing things like I did this or I did that. And so what this community has done for me is it's made me show up, you know, it's made me show up. It has given me a place to be and people to talk to and talk with. It's given me passion, you know. It gives me power. It gives me just family, you know, love. And I gotta say, I didn't expect it. I didn't know it could be this good.
Yeah.
You know. But it is. Now we ain't perfect.
Right.
And if you want to find that out, join a life group, especially one with me in it, you'll find out.
Yeah.
You know that we're not perfect, but you know what? We have the same mission. You know, and these men are helping me, and women are helping equip me, you know what I mean, to go out and fight these battles. And I don't have to fight them alone.
Right, right.
You know?
I think, Austin, one of my favorite things about you, and there's a lot, like, my heart, and we were talking before we even got on camera, and I was just talking about, like, my heart for you and just the way I feel like God just called this friendship, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like I said before, he's just sovereign.
Yes,
and
he
set us up to be friends before we were even born, but one of the things I like about you, and honestly, man, I think it's one of the things that makes you strong. I think it's one of the things that helps you grow the way you're talking about, is you're real, like you're just real. I like that you're willing to be open, vulnerable, honest, you know. I've talked to you on good days. I've talked to you on not so good days. You know, like work today just wasn't a great day, or there was a challenge or whatever. But I appreciate your willingness just to be open and honest. Your vulnerability.
Mm.
Just that, like, hey, this is me. All right, final thoughts. This is my final question. What would you say to anybody on the fence about connecting authentically to a faith community? Whether it be to get really just like, hey, this is my church and I'm going to call it home and build the relationships with these people,
mm-hmm.
to take a step specifically, hey, I'm gonna make being in a group a priority so that I can get deeper in this. What would you say to somebody who's on the fence or has their hands up about that in their life right now?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I would say for me is, and my heart for others is, don't disqualify yourself.
That's good.
You know, don't do it. Because the truth is Jesus seeing you at your absolute worst, whether that's past, whether that's now, or whether that's in the future. And he still said, yeah, you're worthy. Yes, I will lay my life down again and again and again for you. You know what I mean? And take that leap of faith. You never know the relationship that you're going to develop. And what I understand in the Bible, it's a common theme. You know what I mean? From the garden all the way until now, he said that man was alone and it was not good.
That's right.
When he sent the 70, he did it two by two. Yeah. We do this in community because the truth is when I isolate, sometimes the only voice I hear is the voice of the enemy.
Yeah.
And so when I get around people, strong men of God, they speak life into me. They speak truth into me. You know, they see things I don't see. You know, they do. You see things I don't see. And I would never know. God speaks through you guys to me. You know, I'd never done a prayer, 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I went to the 21 days of prayer and I watched God move. I mean, I got goosebumps right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was intense. I know you know.
Yeah.
God spoke to me. He was speaking to people. You know, the fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Yep. You know, and you get a building full of them, you get a room full of them, God will move.
Yeah.
He will move. And so I just, if anybody's disqualifying themselves, just take that step.
Take the shot.
Take the shot.
If you don't take the shot, you miss.
If you don't take it, you miss.
That's right. That's right. That's awesome. Yeah. Austin, I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
I'm super proud of you. Our church loves you. You're an incredible example of what our church is about. I'm the same example, just broken people that need a savior, that have a call and a purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that God has allowed you to be a part of this church family and that I get to call you friend, man. It's a real blessing. Hey, thanks for the conversation. Let's eat steak.
Well, that's awesome what God can do through community, isn't it? And I appreciate Austin, who's sitting in the service, just being you, man, and being vulnerable and then just opening our hearts and our eyes to the power of what community can do. Austin said some things in this interview that really just stood out to me that I think are very powerful truths. And one of the things that he said that I just want to communicate to those of you that might be unsure, maybe you lack that tight community, that closeness to people that are actually going to help you to grow. One of the things that he said was when he's alone, often the voice that he hears is the voice of the enemy. And so what happens is when the voice of the enemy begins to speak into our lives, it begins to say things like, hey man, you're the only one. No one's going to understand. It begins to speak lies into our hearts and into our minds that what it causes us to do is it causes us to digress and take steps back into places of isolation and loneliness. And nowhere in the Bible does the Bible describe that to be healthy or good. In fact, it always describes it to be a place of danger. And there's warning signs that surround it. And I love the fact that he just said, look, when I'm alone, that's the voice that I hear. And then what happens is when we start to listen to those lies, we start to disqualify ourselves. And I appreciate the challenge not to disqualify yourself, because here's the reality. God hasn't. While you were yet still sinners, Christ died for you at your worst. No matter what that looks like, no matter what your story is, and I know what you're saying. You're saying is, yeah, but my story's different, and you don't really know my details. That doesn't matter to the heart of God, because he meets you there, and he will take you from there to a place and a destination that only he could bring for you. Amen, everybody. And so in closing, I just want to share a couple of verses with you, just two. I want to show you a truth from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. This is what the Bible says. It says, confess your sins. Confess your sins. It's talking about being vulnerable, opening up. Be real about the issues and the struggles that you're having. Confess your sins. Notice what it says to each other. It's a little surprising to some. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? Because if you do, that's where healing comes from. So some of us have bondages and things that are holding us back.
things that are tying us to a past and to a yesterday. Some of us have a problem with our past, and what's happening is that we're held in bondage there, and the Bible tells us that if we get in community and we start communicating to other people and we can let down our guard and we can begin to trust and we can begin to talk and we can start to have some confession about the things that we struggle with, that healing is found there. Why? Because the earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And there are some of you, maybe you're at a distance checking this out online, or maybe you're sitting in this room, and your greatest struggle is your inability to connect and be real. And I'm talking to you right now. Austin was talking to you this morning. Take the shot. Take it. And I get it. Listen, I get it. With such a heart of compassion, I understand that there are some of us who've had bad experiences taking those shots. Maybe it was a church that you've connected to, or someone who called themselves a Christian that didn't treat you with any grace or mercy or compassion or sense of understanding about what you're going through. Maybe they presented themselves as like they're better than you, or they've got some holy mark or some approval from God that you'll never get to. Can I just be honest with you? That's not godly. It isn't. Because there's not a one of us in this room, there's not a one of us connected online, there's not a single one of us that doesn't have some sin issue. All of us stand on level ground. What we need for freedom is each other, because it's God's method for it. So if I want to find healing, and freedom, comfort, and momentum, moving me forward to where God's calling me to be, I have to do it with God's people. I have to. It's God's system for it. He has a system and it delivers his vision. But I want to take you to one more verse and this is how we're going to close, because I'm only really communicating, and I want to stop saying I. Austin was only communicating to two people today. And here's the second one. Watch this. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, there it is again, vulnerability, openness, honesty. If we confess our sins to who? To him, to God. What happens? The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what we do is we go to God for forgiveness. We go to God's people for healing. Only God can cleanse me. Only God can forgive me. It's because of the blood of Jesus that I have this opportunity to be forgiven and free. But the healing that gets me beyond the issues, the method that's going to take me into freedom, that's going to help me to overcome the hurdles and the obstacles and the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups that just get on me and hang on me like weights, it's God's people that's going to deliver that healing. And I could have brought you another message and three more points and all those. I could have. Like, God's given me ability to pull stuff like that together and communicate that way. But I really just felt like God had a different direction. And here's my prayer, is that Austin Wagner's real story will connect to yours and give you the encouragement that you may need to say, you know what, enough's enough. Because can I preach a second? Can I be really honest with you in the last couple minutes we have together? Some of you need to stop with the excuses. Okay, we're all busy. We all have a lot going on. Life is hard, heavy, and it comes with messes and junk. Sometimes we are swept off our feet because we didn't expect whatever happened to happen. Sometimes we find ourselves digressing to old places, unhealthy patterns. Sometimes we recognize that we're in a repetitive cycle of something that just continues to come up in our lives, and the real truth is we don't want to deal with it anymore. But God's given us a method to find freedom from it. And it's the other broken person around you. How crazy is that? That's his system. It's how healing is found. So if I want to get past the issues in my life, I need to get with somebody who's got some issues in theirs. And we need to talk about it, and be honest about it, and be real about it, and pray about it, and hold each other accountable about it, and just get it into the open and bring it into the light, because freedom is there. And so for some of us this morning, the shot you need to take is to connect to some people. Take the shot. Take the shot. Groups are happening now. It's not too late. Introduce yourself to somebody in your row. Connect to somebody that you've just had this admiration for. It's like, man, I just really admire that person. There's something about the goat. Ask them if you can go to coffee and buy it for them. It's just so that you can deepen a relationship with somebody who you think is going to help you find the freedom that you need. So for some of us in the room, that's the shot we take. For others of us in this room, the shot we take is just to connect to the heart of God. We've actually never trusted our heart to Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you to take that shot today. So for some in this room, it's a James 5:16 thing. I need to just confess some sins to some people, some life, some stuff to some people, and ask them to pray with me so that I can find healing. For others of us, I need to confess my sins to God so that he can forgive me and cleanse me, make me new. So what I want to do as we close, Austin, would you come to the platform? Give it up for my brother, everybody. What's up, man? I love you, dude. You don't have to say anything. I just want you to be with me. Since you were in this service and we're communicating to people online and people in this room, I want Austin and I to just make some invitations today. I just want you to join me in the invitation. You brought today's message, and thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed all across this auditorium, I stand here with my brother, and I just want to pray. And what I want to do is I just want to pray for those of you that the shot you need to take is connection to some family, to some brothers or some sisters, some people. You need community. And so, Father, I just stand here with my brother who I am in community with, who you've given me the privilege, Lord God. He's one example of one of the men, Lord God, that I spend and invest time with to grow. This is a brother who hears the honesty of me. He knows that I have struggles and that I'm not perfect. And even though I have a title that's pastor, I have a life that's real. And God, I thank you that he loves me anyway. I thank you that he holds me accountable. He checks on me. He prays for me. Father, I pray today as I stand with him for my friends that need that same type of connection. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that today they take that shot. Take the shot. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, that they would connect to the right kinds of people so they can find freedom and healing that they're looking for. I pray that in Jesus' name. I want you to keep your heads bowed, eyes still closed. And what I want to do now is I want to make an invitation to those of you that need to take a different shot. And the shot that you need to take is to just trust Jesus with your life. This is your shot. This is your moment. No matter where you are, no matter when you are hearing this message, I want to invite you to be bold. And so today I want to ask you to do simply one thing, and that's to make a decision. Make a decision to connect to God's heart through his son, Jesus Christ. You're the 1 John 1:9 person that you need to confess those faults, be forgiven, and be cleansed, and be healed. And so what I want to do is I want to invite you to do that, and here's how we do it. I'm not going to ask you to stand or walk toward the front, raise your hand if you're in this building. I'm not going to ask you to do anything online except fill out a digital connection card after you've made a decision to follow Jesus. If you're in this room right here where you're seated, make a decision. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I simply want you to repeat this prayer after me so that you can step into a relationship with Jesus. Church family, you know how we do it? I'm going to ask everybody in this room to say it out loud with me so that the people saying it for the first time can say it with boldness and with confidence. I want you to repeat this. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's put our hands together and congratulate those that did that. Amen.